Most of you have already asked me how I'm doing, and I've answered in a variety of ways because I'm doing a variety of ways. I had my second spinal injection this Wednesday, and it flared everything up big time. I mean, I saw stars. And so Wednesday and Thursday were awful. Friday got a lot better, and I am better. Now, I am better. But I feel that this stool is a very good idea, because I have spasms. And when the spasms come, I just never know what I'm going to say or do. So it's good to sit. In fact, I'm enjoying this stool so much that I may just keep it for forever. This is the second message in this series that I'm calling Spring Cleaning. Last week, we talked about getting rid of some of that junk, those junky sins in our lives that God wants us to throw out. How many of you got rid of some junk this week? Don't answer. Okay, good. And I want to remind you that it's never too late for spring cleaning. Today, the topic is a new coat of paint. Doesn't a new coat of paint just do wonders? It just makes everything look better. It makes everything smell better. It covers a multitude of sins, right? Hey, that sounds familiar. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, love each other deeply. For love covers a multitude of sins. How many sins does it cover? A multitude of sins. The Old Testament has a very similar verse teaching. It's in Proverbs 10, verse 12. It says, hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers all wrongs. Quite often when people visit Elizabeth and me in our home in Frederick, they will comment on how clean our house is. That's partly because we are neatniks. We like to pick things up. We don't like things just lying around, and we like things to be clean. A number of years ago, I was having a real serious problem with allergies, head congestion and sore throat and infections and pills and so forth, and my doctor said I needed to go see an allergist. And I did, and you maybe have been there, you know, they prick your skin with all these needles and they figure out what you're allergic to, and then they gave you injections to get over it. One of the things that they discovered I was allergic to was dust and dust mites. Anybody identify with that one? I bet there's a lot of people allergic to dust and dust mites. And the doctor told me that I had to make my bedroom dust-free. And I said, hey, doc, what are you talking about? My bedroom is immaculate. We're clean at my house. Not. You see, we hired this lady to come over and make the bedroom dust-free, and she taught us quite a bit about hidden dust. Under the bed? Well, of course, under the bed. Under the mattress? Of course not. In the mattress? How about in the curtains? Really? And those books that are stacked up on the nightstand, they are a haven for dust mites. Get rid of them. So was the other side of the ceiling fan, the side that I didn't clean all the time. And the carpet was like an acre or two of field day for dust mites. What else? Anything else? Yes. We had to clean the lampshades. We had to clean the windowsills. We had to clean the linens and the blankets and the pillows and the light fixtures. And we even had to scrub down the walls. There was more dust in that room than I ever dreamed was in that room, which I thought was immaculate. We were inundated by dust and dust mites. We were sleeping with it all the time until my allergies exposed the hidden dust. And that is what it's like with my sin and yours. We think we are clean. But in reality, you are hiding a multitude of sins from yourself and from other people. You need to clean up your life. You need to put on a fresh coat of paint that hides a multitude of sins. Before you paint, however, you have to prep. I hate to prep for painting. I want to get right to the good part, you know, where you put on that fresh paint and you smell it and it's making things look great and clean again. But if you don't prep, you will have problems. And it's not easy to have a prep, a good prepping job sometimes. It can be very challenging. For instance, here is a list of how challenging it can be to clean things really well. And this list was written by an expert. I'm not going to tell you who the expert was yet. I'm going to tell you after I've read the list. And this expert gave 8 points to show how challenging it can be to clean. And the title of this is How to Clean a Cat. First, clean the toilet. Second, add shampoo to the toilet water. Third, lift both lids. Four, obtain the cat and pet her gently as you walk towards the bathroom. Five, carefully put the cat into the toilet and close both lids quickly. Caution, do not get any part of your body near the edge because the cat's claws will be reaching out for anything close by. Number six, now flush the toilet. Do it again, 3 or 4 times. In fact, let's have a power wash and a rinse. Number seven, have someone open the door to the outside and be assured that there is an open path to the door. Number eight, stand far behind the toilet because that cat will move as quickly as possible to rocket out of the house where she will dry herself. Signed sincerely, the dog. That's stupid, isn't it? I love stupid things. Getting your life cleaned up can be as challenging as cleaning a cat. You know, you need some help. Painting can be painful to the body, especially old bodies and old joints. Sometimes you need help. I'm always impressed with senior citizens who do their own painting. However, I'm more impressed with those who realize they need help sometimes to do things. Things that they should not try to do on their own because they will pay the price if they do it. We often need help. We don't like to admit it sometimes. We like to be self-sufficient. I was raised to be self-sufficient. And it's not just any help we need a lot of times. It's professional help that we need quite often. When you try to prep your life and clean it up without the help of the Holy Spirit of God, you are asking for trouble. You wouldn't try to do that, would you? Would you? Now back to what Peter wrote. Love each other deeply, for love covers a multitude of sins. Love is the best coat of paint there is. And God is the best painter. When Peter wrote that we are to love each other deeply, he chose 2 words very carefully. The word that he chose for love is, I'll bet you can guess, agape. Agape is the kind of love that Christ showed us. It's the kind of love that we cannot ever attain, but which we always seek to attain. It's a selfless love. But Peter added the word deeply. And the word deeply that he added literally has 2 meanings. It means outstretching and consistent. Let's talk about both of them. First, outstretching. The picture that this word paints is of a runner preparing to run the marathon, stretching their muscles. I've never run a marathon, and God willing, I never will. But Have you ever seen people who do that, stretching their muscles? Why do they do that? Because it helps to avoid those muscles being strained and tearing. A wise runner stretches their muscles before and after they run. So, applied to the idea of loving deeply, we need to prepare ourselves and protect ourselves to get the best out of ourselves that we possibly can. Protect yourself, prepare yourself to get the best out of yourself that you possibly can. Don't just slap on some paint, but work at it carefully and lovingly and do what needs to be done and do it right. Now, the word deeply also carries the meaning of being consistent. And the idea is this. Also love the unlovable. I want to tell you a story about Russell Stendhal. Russell Stendhal was the son of an American missionary who went to Colombia, South America. He was 8 years old when his family moved him there, and Colombia became his second home. In fact, when he grew up, Russell became a missionary there himself. Now, in the 1980s, Colombia was going through a terrible civil war, and it was at the height of this civil war. And the rebels, in order to finance their fight, would take hostages and hold them for ransom to get the ransom money to fund their war. In August of 1983, guerrilla soldiers took Russell Stendhal hostage in the jungles of South America. They tied him to a tree with nylon cord for 5 months. And they treated him very harshly. But in return, in spite of all this, Russell painted his captors with love and kindness. And they began to see in him something different. It was the kind of love that Peter said we should have. Even love the unlovable. Now, in order to get a ransom, they decided they would let him write a letter home. And in the letter, he said this, "I am in danger only of losing my life. They are in danger of losing their souls." No ransom came. So the commander of the rebels came to him and said, "We're going to have to kill you. But none of us can bear to do it because we like you. You're different. So we're going to have to kill you while you're sleeping." For the next 10 nights, he had a horrible time sleeping because over and over during the night, a machine gun came into under the mosquito netting into his face. But every time the soldier holding that gun could not bring himself to pull the trigger, and he would retreat. Finally, they let him go. Because he had painted them with love, and he had painted himself with love, and they saw a Christian being a Christian, and it changed them. On January 3, in 1984, when he was released, some of his captors had tears in their eyes. He had shown them what it means to love deeply and to love the unlovable. But that remarkable story hasn't ended, because he was captured 4 more times and he was released 4 more times. And then he said, "I try to encourage them to do the right thing, to remove the thorns and heal the wounds of the heart." And for the next 30 years, Russell Stendhal has labored for his captors in trying to negotiate peace for them. They asked for his forgiveness. They asked for his help. They saw in him a Christian who was willing to love deeply. Deeply. Colossians 3, beginning in verse 12. As God's chosen people, holy and beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect harmony. So, our spring cleaning assignment is to put on some new clothes, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, and several coats of love wherever it's needed in all your relationships. Every time I've gone into my spiritual closet and examined the clothes that I wear in my spiritual life, and I've tried to put on these garments that Paul said we should put on, I have found it very, very difficult to do. I've discovered I really can't do it by myself. And that's when I am reminded and thankful for the fact that the children of God have the Spirit of God to become like the Son of God. And you are His child. You are the children of God. And you have the Spirit of God in you to help you become like the Son of God. What? Amen. Hallelujah. It's not enough to get rid of the junky sin in your life. You need to be washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You need to be painted with that kind of love. And Paul said this in Philippians, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Or maybe he said this, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Or maybe he said this, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Or maybe he said, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. You can do everything through Him who gives you strength. You have the power within you to accomplish anything that God wants you to accomplish. No matter what. He wants you to paint everything and everybody with love. Here is a poem that might be helpful for some of us. It was written by Stephen Moore, and the title of the poem is The Second Mile. Stern duty said, go walk a mile and help thy brother bear his load. I walked reluctantly, but meanwhile my heart grew soft with help bestowed. Then love said, go another mile. I went, and duty spoke no more, but love arose and with a smile took all the burden that I bore. 'Tis ever thus when duty calls, if we spring quickly to obey, love comes. And whatsoever befalls, we're glad to help another day. The second mile we walk with joy. Heaven's peace goes with us on the road. So let us all our powers employ to help our brother bear life's load. That's painting with love those who need it. You see, when you help someone out of duty, the walls of your life and their lives can be very dingy. But when you help someone out of love, it's like a new coat of paint on those walls. And your life smells better, looks better. It's just wonderful. You see things differently. You feel things differently. You your attitude towards other people is different. That parent who hurt you, that child who rebelled against you, that boss who abused you, that brother who abused you, that neighbor who thinks that the whole neighborhood is theirs, the unlovable, the sinners, you can love them deeply if the Holy Spirit helps you. I love this story. It's about a young teenager who wanted to give his mother a nice present. I should have saved this story for last Sunday, for Mother's Day. But I didn't. He wanted to buy her a nice gift, and so he asked his dad if he would drop him off at the mall. He ended up in a department store, and he decided to go to the lingerie department. He was embarrassed, but he decided he wanted to buy his mother a slip. And there was a sales lady there, and he told her what he was looking for. She said, "What size?" And he said, "I don't know." And she said, "Well, could you describe your mother to me? Is she fat? Is she thin? Is she tall? Is she short?" He thought about it for a few moments, and then he said, "I don't know. She's just about perfect." So the sales lady sent her home with a slip size 34. And the next week, the mom came back to the store to return the slip because she needed a size 42. Her son had seen her through the eyes of love, which made her look perfect to him. He didn't take into account the exact dimensions of a tape measure. And you know what? Lots of us can identify with that, because when we love people the way God wants us to love us, we don't see them as fat or thin or tall or short or whatever. We see them the way Jesus sees you, through the eyes of love. Perfect. Perfect. It may mean that you need a new coat of paint and a clean brush, and you need to walk the second mile in order to bless somebody the way God wants us to bless them. It may mean that you need to get a clean brush and a whole new can of paint, and you need to walk the second mile to clean up your life. Your life may need it too. Love yourself. Love yourself. Because you know what? You are unlovable too. I am unlovable. You need to start by loving yourself. How much does Jesus Christ love you? Work on that. Get out some paint. I'm going to close with 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. The end of all things is near. We've been living with those words for centuries. And as I said very recently in a sermon, don't presume it's not going to happen in your lifetime. Jesus Christ may come in your lifetime. We are to live as if he rose from the dead just yesterday, that he ascended into heaven today, and that he's coming again tomorrow. We need to live in the present. The end of all things is near, Peter said. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he or she has received to serve others. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, when You came, You brought the biggest, best can of paint that mankind has ever known. Thank You for washing us, Lord, with Your love. Thank You for showering us with Your love. Thank You for loving us even when we are unlovable, and for challenging us, Lord, to love in that way, to love deeply, to forgive, and to live with one another in harmony and peace and love. So I pray, Lord, that when we leave this place today, and as we continue to get rid of the junk in our lives, that You will help us to remember to paint the people we see with the love that You've provided and placed inside of us because of Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.